to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show today. We are live today, Saturday, April 10th, 2010. And again, apologies for yesterday being a repeat. But when work does come around, I have to go work at the day job. And yesterday was, I guess, kind of semi-officially, my final day on the TV series Lost. They're just wrapping up the season premiere. And so I got to go out and climb around this Haiku Valley Station here, which is this incredible historic building that's just sinking into neglect and everything. And just to sort of wander off here, during World War II, this was like a top secret, one of the very first very long wave radio transmitters that could transmit from here in Hawaii to submerged U.S. submarines all the way out in Tokyo. And it's just a fascinating building to walk around. And it's kind of a shame to see it being neglected, being a history buff that I am. And one of the nice things about living on a small island like this is all the history that happened really nearby. You can go and see it. I mean, I can look out this window and see the Arizona and the Missouri, and that's kind of definitely one of the plus things. And the Bowfin submarine is down here. Look out the window and see that as well. All right, I digress. Obviously, you know, before we get into the show here, our phone number is 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Hour number two, we're going to have Anthony Ibarra as our guest from Diginet talking about their glasses and their pens with the cameras inside. And the reason I asked him to come back to the show is in anticipation of the national strike that's coming up this next week, various tax day protests. There are a lot of protests out there. The corporate media is totally ignoring them. A lot of people concerned about false flag attacks. If the goons from the government and the media, the agents provocateurs, the informants, infiltrators, if they know there are covert, hidden, unidentifiable TV cameras in the crowds recording everything that goes on, it's going to act as a deterrent to the kind of antics we saw the FBI use to disrupt peace marches back in the 1960s. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit later in the show. Obviously, top story today, the Polish president and his wife have been killed in a plane crash in Russia. And apparently the story that we're getting so far, and yes, I'm getting emails saying, oh, it was space weapons, it was HAARP, it was Ms. Cleo and her crystal ball, whatever. But in reading the reports, apparently the pilot made three attempts to land the airplane in a very heavily fogged out area. The ground control gave the pilot the option to divert to a clearer field. Apparently the Polish president himself ordered the pilot to try and land at this airport because there was a big diplomatic thing going on here. And looking at the video and film we're getting from there, it looks like coming in on approach, the pilot was just above stall speed, may have hit a microburst or a wind shear and just down into the woods, and everybody was killed on board the plane. It's a tragic accident here. And there are two things that we need to take away from this incident. One, presidents are not gods. They cannot overrule the weather. They cannot contradict nature, Mr. Gore. The president of Poland probably had one of the very best pilots available to him on that aircraft. And presidents should allow decisions about flying to be made by the flight crew and not wander in and say, I'm the president and I'm telling you to land in this weather. And that was a mistake. Bet he won't make that mistake ever again. Now, the second situation is I want you, as the story unfolds, and obviously it's the big story on the corporate media, look at the wreckage. Look at the bits of airplane spread all over the ground there, in the trees and the grass and everything. And then think back to Flight 93 in Pennsylvania, where there was a hole in the ground and you couldn't find anything. And the wreckage was spread over 8 miles of Pennsylvania countryside. And it just further hammers home the point that what happened to Flight 93 doesn't match up with the official story. When an airplane crashes into the ground, the wreckage is confined in that space, and the pieces are all there. When an airplane gets blown up in midair, then the wreckage goes everywhere, and there's no one spot on the ground where you see it all piled up, as we are seeing in Russia. So take a good look at today's crash, because that's what it's supposed to look like. And Flight 93's supposed claimed impact point doesn't show any of those signs whatsoever. Now, turning over to Kyrgyzstan, this is a situation that is really starting to unravel here. The current Kyrgyzstan leader, Rosa Otunbayeva, has proclaimed herself the leader of Kyrgyzstan. She was a member of the former government. She is standing there basically trying to keep the opposition party from taking over the country completely. She has basically said that the former president of Kyrgyzstan needs to go into exile, needs to get out of the country completely, because his continued presence inside the borders is pushing the country closer to civil war. Now, when this Rosa originally took over the government, she was telling the U.S., yes, you can keep the using the air base at Manus. Now she has reversed herself 180 degrees and said, no, the Americans have to go. And that really is the issue. That's the reason the government of Kyrgyzstan fell. You know, the U.S. government has got this horrible, horrible, horrible record of going into countries and propping up these tin pot dictators with money and goodies and weapons and torture devices in order to get favorable treatment for U.S. corporations or a military advantage. We made the same mistake with the Shah of Iran, with Pinochet in Chile, with Ferdinand Marcos in the Philippines, with Batista in Cuba, over and over and over and over again, until the people of the country get totally fed up with American puppet rule, and they kick out the government, which is why Castro came to power, and why Pinochet is now a convicted war criminal, and the 1979 revolution in Iran, which the U.S. is trying to counter-coup even as we speak here. But the bottom line is the U.S. government gave $80 million in foreign aid to Kyrgyzstan, most of which appears to have gone into the pockets of the president and his family. And the U.S. doesn't care about that. When we say, oh, we're spending money on these countries, you know, it's like the aid that we're supposedly giving to Palestine. And now we find out most of that basically just goes into the Israel government, and they're not spending it on Palestine. And it's just a big hoax to convince you it's okay to go on being looted and give money to all these despotic regimes around the world. And the media will tell you, oh, it's for a good reason. Trust us, it's for a good reason. And then all of a sudden the people rise up and they kick out the American puppets, and the U.S. government stands there and says, why do they hate us so much? What did we ever do? Well, we kind of messed things up there. And now all U.S. flights in and out of the Manas Air Base have been suspended. And this Rosa Otunbayeva is now telling the U.S. government, no, you're not allowed to have that base anymore. Please take your toys, take your nuclear weapons, and go home. Meanwhile, there's a Russian airbase on the ground, and Russia and the new government of Kyrgyzstan appear to be moving closer and closer together. And here's the part that's really going to make it tricky for the United States. Both of the pretenders to power in Kyrgyzstan, this Rosa Otunbayeva and the opposition party, are both anti-American and both pro-Russian. Short of outright invasion by the United States, which I wouldn't put past these war-happy bastards, short of outright invasion, the U.S. is losing that piece of real estate in the contest between spheres of influence. And, you know, the problem is, if the U.S. tries to enforce its way militarily back onto that base at Manas, it could mean open war with Russia, U.S. and Russia together. And, by the way, they do have nukes. And they do have the rockets to deliver them to the United States. Despite that recent treaty. Here's a little thing about that recent treaty that you need to keep in mind. Yes, we're drawing down our nuclear arsenals. They're throwing out the old rusty clunkers is what they're doing. This is the nuclear version of the Cash for Clunkers program. They're taking all the rockets that are too old and are costing too much to maintain, and they're junking them. They're the rockets they probably wouldn't have used except at the very, very end when they'd run out of ice cream machines to throw at each other. And that's what was drawn down by this treaty. It's just an excuse for both sides to say, we're getting rid of the old crud, and, you know, we're going to focus our attention and our maintenance budgets on the really brand new, high-tech, hip ones. Take it from me, this new nuclear treaty that Obama's waving around as proof of his good intentions to the world, it doesn't force the Russians to get rid of those new maneuverable MIRV vehicles that we can't intercept. It's all for show. It's all to convince you everything's hunky-dory, and it isn't. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work.
doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And finishing up here with the situation in Kyrgyzstan, the reason this is becoming a critical situation for the United States government, and they're trying to figure some way they can somehow convince whatever new government comes to power in Kyrgyzstan to allow the U.S. to continue to use that airbase, despite the overwhelming opposition of the local population, is because that is the main airbase for supporting the invasion and conquest of Afghanistan. And, you know, all those opium poppies are now at risk. Somebody else might get that drug money than our own government. And horror of horrors, we can't allow that to happen. So they're going to go in there and they're going to bribe people. If they lose that airfield, it is going to become much more expensive to fly those opium, fly that opium out of Afghanistan back to the United States or over to Russia. And, of course, it'll come out of tax money. You know, and in this economy, we really can't afford to be in Afghanistan anyway. You know, it would be wonderful if the people making all these billions and trillions of dollars off the opium trade would actually pay for the cost of the war. But that seems to be the American way of doing business. We're going to stick the people with the bill for whatever we do, and we'll keep the profits for ourselves, which, again, as I said, is the hallmark of a fascist regime. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Dennis in Michigan. Dennis in Michigan. And aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. Thanks again for getting up so early on a Saturday morning in Hawaii.
Well, you're welcome, and I've got my coffee here, and I'm guzzling that down. And yeah, it was rough yesterday. I'm very stiff and sore. If exercise is supposed to be so good for you, why am I hurting so much this morning?
Hey, I feel that pain. I played tennis yesterday really hard for an hour and a half, so I understand.
Well, I was climbing up and down onto the roof of this building that we were using as a location on this old rusty steel ladder, and I must have gone up and down that thing about 40, 50 times, and I'm feeling it.
Ooh,
today.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, whatever doesn't kill you, you know that thing.
Yeah. Anyway, what's on your mind today?
I just called you the other day. I was telling you about Citadels of Chaos being online, which is citadelsofchaos.com, and I don't want to repeat that. But
you just
that wonderful rabbit hole. That wonderful rabbit hole that I think if people who get on their different horses of, you know, how we're being abused, which is very obvious to, seems like, everybody I talk to. Once in a while I meet someone whose eyes glaze over and whose head is in the sand, but generally pretty much everybody knows there's shenanigans going on.
I think anybody not on a federal government paycheck has come to the conclusion that this country is in serious, serious trouble and is past the point of being saved. Everybody who is on a federal government paycheck is still wandering around saying, oh, no, I love the government. They're wonderful. They wouldn't hurt anybody. You know, but it's easy to identify these mentally defective losers and avoid them.
Well, God bless Richard Cook because he's retired and he's working against it. He's getting a pension from the Fedzillas, so... There you go. But speaking of him, that same ethic of economic reform, you know, not needing gold and all that, you can just do it with non-debt-based issuance of currency. In other words, let's play a game of poker, and 100 poker chips is enough. Okay, it's a bigger game. We need 150. It's a smaller game. We need 50 chips, whatever. But, I mean, that's really what the government
needs. But as long as it's value-based, something we all agree
production on.
I mean, when Adolf Hitler threw out the reserve-type banking system of the Weimar Republic, He replaced it with a government-issued currency, not from a central bank, government-issued currency, mm-hmm. and it was actually valued in terms of straight labor.
Right.
How much, you know, it was
exactly.
basically said, this paper is worth so many hours of labor of your average German citizen, and it was kind of a very strange way to evaluate it, but it worked. It worked. Once they got free of that private central bank, Germany's economy turned around. That's why Hitler was named Time Magazine's Man of the Year, because
right.
of the economic miracle he'd pulled in Germany. But the only miracle was telling the private bankers to go take a hike. And so as a result of that, you started getting these headlines, Judea declares war on Germany, and you had all these bankers around the world organizing a global boycott because they wanted to destroy the new German economic model before the rest of the world realized, hey, this is
right.
a pretty good way of doing these things.
At that model has worked a lot through history.
That model has always worked. It worked for the early United States.
Yeah,
it worked for Germany.
What was that called? The script. Colonial script.
Yeah, very much so. But the bottom line is, you know, and the reason when this country, when the United States was set up, was a very revolutionary concept to have the government issue the currency for the public use, interest-free, without having to borrow it from a bank. And it really is the reason the United States became a world power as quickly as it did. And the banking clans just absolutely wanted to crush it. When you hear the phrase, clash of civilizations, what they're really talking about is a war of banking
yep.
systems.
Yep. I say that all the time. I have too many friends who drink the Kool-Aid to kill the brown people, and I'm just so freaking tired. I said, can you relate to having cruise missiles sail over your head? Like, you could almost fly a kite and hit them, and then it hits your power station a few blocks away. I mean, this is what we're doing to other countries. It just irks me so much. And these mm-hmm. right-to-life Christians, and I love them dearly, and I consider myself one, but they're idiots. They're just like, they're drinking this Kool-Aid. They've watched Fox too much, and they're drinking this Kool-Aid that you can just go bomb sovereign nations. And I'm just freaking tired of it. Sorry for that. But
well, yeah, that's
my high horse.
Yeah, yeah, got to watch the language here. They've got a kill switch in the studio. But anyway, listen, I'm going to let you go here. We're at the end of the segment. Did you have one more thing?
Get out of the park. Yeah,
I'm sorry?
The Bill Still guy knocked it out of the park with The Secret of Oz. It's a DVD. It's got 111 favorable customer reviews on Amazon and 3 4-star reviews and 1 2-star review, and that's it.
Okay.
And he's won a bunch of awards with this movie, and he just put it out in November. And he's
yeah, I remember
some,
we covered that when it happened there. Okay, I do have
yeah.
to let you go now. I do have to let you go. Thank you very much. Okay, yeah. We're not going to plug people's videos and stuff unless I've had a chance to really look at them and judge for myself here. All right. Anyway, quick story before the end of the end of the segment here. Over in Ashtabula County, the sheriff's department has been cut more than 50% because of the economy here, and because most of the deputies that are still there are being used to transport prisoners and serve warrants and other court functions, they've got only one patrol car for 720 square miles. So a judge in Ashtabula County has told the local citizens, go out and buy guns. There's nobody there to protect you from the murderers and the rapists and the burglars and so forth and so on. You have a judge saying, get a gun, you know, and I've got sweetness right here, and you know, go out and arm yourself and shoot the burglars, you know, coming in. And at some point, I think there may be a mistake, and we'll see some repossession people get plugged. And, you know, and tax collectors and anybody else with their hand on your wallet is going to get shot. And again, this is an echo of what we saw back in 1776, where the British government stopped being a government and became an oppressive force and led to the battles of Lexington and Concord, which is the anniversary of that is later on this month. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down. go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We were talking about Ashtabula County and the judge telling residents, you know, go out and get your guns because the cops are not going to come and save you from crime, which we have kind of known all along. As we talk about gun rights and the right for citizens to arm themselves to be secure in their home, the reality is that 99% of the time, the police never arrive in time to thwart a crime in progress. That's inevitable. The crooks aren't going to break into your home when there's a police car parked out front. They're going to wait for the police to be someplace else. The police will get there after it's all over. And they'll stand around in their very impressive-looking uniforms and their badge, and they'll say, "We promise retribution or justice," or whatever it is they call. The reality is, though, when the crime is actually occurring, when the rape is actually happening, when the burglary is actually going down, there are only two parties present, the victim and the perpetrator. And the reality is that far more crimes are halted mid-progress by private citizens with legally owned firearms than by the police. The police are there to issue tickets and collect revenues and all that other stuff. And we were talking the other day about this experiment going on in Europe where a lot of cities have simply torn down all the traffic enforcement, taken down the signs, taken down the lights, and they're saying, okay, there are no more distractions. You don't have to watch out for police cars with red lights. Just pay attention to the road, and they're seeing traffic safety improve. Accidents are declining. Fatalities are declining. Clear case, less is more. So, you know, it's becoming arguable that if the police aren't going to be able to stop crime, and traffic safety actually improves the less traffic enforcement is present, begin to realize that it's just another one of those things where government is shoving something at you that you don't really need. Which reminds me, interesting. Oh, and by the way, in response to all the emails I got during the break, yes, it's a plastic toy gun. It's not real. My real guns are all black powder flintlocks and blunderbusses and things like that. No, this is a plastic gun. Like the phaser, that's also plastic. All right, now, speaking of government just coming up with really ridiculous reasons to go on taking your money to pay themselves salaries, down in Australia, following the Port Arthur massacre, there were a whole bunch of these gun laws passed. And a lot of people think the Port Arthur massacre was another staged event, like Columbine, specifically to push an anti-gun agenda by the New World Orderists who say, we're going to be gods and the rest of you have to live in these little rubber pens that we're going to craft for you to spend your entire life in. Down in Australia, as if there isn't enough going on down there, the government is now going around requiring licenses of non-functioning firearms. Yeah, if you've got a gun that can shoot bullets and things, you know, maybe registration's not a bad thing. But now they're going around and saying you have to have licenses for guns that don't work. They're going around, you know, especially in the outback, there are all these old, you know, World War II veterans came home, set up businesses, and they've got these old rusted Vickers machine guns as ornaments and displays up on the top of their building. And they're rusted over. And the Australian government is saying they still have to have a license. In one case that I linked to the front of whatreallyhappened.com, the government is now requiring people with wooden recreations of firearms, wooden copies, wood models of working firearms to get a license. I mean, don't you guys have anything better to do down there in Australia than go around licensing wooden models of firearms? It's absurd. But, you know, left to itself, government will always find more and more things to govern to justify its swelling payroll and its salaries. And look, I got all these nieces and nephews I got to feed somehow, and I got to give them a job going around and putting license stickers on fake wooden guns. It's absurd. It is absolutely absurd. In Australia, you need a license to own a fake wooden gun. I guess in Australia, this would require a license, even though it's just a toy. By the way, that orange barrel means it's a toy. It's so the cops won't shoot you when you carry something like this out there. All right, moving right along here. Obama was out on TV today saying, yes, the stimulus plan is going to lower your taxes if you take advantage of all these little programs, which are basically, you know, it's designed to get you to go out and spend more money, then you get a tax credit on it. But the net result is you're still losing more money than you gain. Anytime they talk about a tax credit, they're trying to encourage certain behaviors. But the bottom line is you got to spend $12 to get a dollar back in tax benefits. So you're still losing money. And it hardly comes as a surprise that Obama is lying about the tax credits because he's lied about everything else. I mean, let's face it, Obamacare has just dropped about another $4,000 in taxes on the average American family. The climate bill to combat human-caused global warming that they're trying to ram through Congress, even as I speak, will add another $6,000 tax burden to the average American family. So that's $10,000 in taxes per family, courtesy of the Obama administration, but he wants to remind you that there is an educational tax credit you can take advantage of if you still have any money left over to go and get yourself an education. Now, Obama, when he was campaigning, and Obama, when he won the election, made a promise to the world that the prison for detainees in Guantanamo would be closed. The implication was that he was bringing to an end the policy of illegal imprisonment without trial and torture brought about by his predecessors. And as you know, this last week, an assistant to Colin Powell in a legal action did a sworn deposition under oath that Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld knew they had innocent people in Guantanamo being tortured, but they didn't want to let them go for political reasons. It would be political embarrassment. So we're going to go on torturing these guys and pretending they're terrorists even though we know that they're not. And Obama is continuing the Bush policies here. Guantanamo is not closed. They've closed an old section of it and moved the prisoners to a new improved section right next door. Plus, we've got the Bagram base where Obama was last week rallying the troops. That is being used for these illegal detentions and torture. It's still going on. Obama has not changed a thing in this country. The only thing Obama has done is push us a little further over that cliff onto the rocks below. It's just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Turning to the economy real quick, we're getting more and more warning signals that the whole global system is about to seize up like a cheap transmission. And again, this gets back to this whole idea. We've got all these people running around saying, wouldn't a global government and everything be wonderful? No, it wouldn't. It absolutely would not. The reason we're in this economic mess right now is because of globalism. National borders form safety barriers, like fire doors in a building, like watertight bulkheads in a ship. If you take all those, if you block the fire doors open, if you lock open the hatches on the watertight bulkheads, the first accident happens, destroys the system as a whole. And this is what has happened. It was globalism that took an economic catastrophe in the United States and turned it into a global disaster. And they're trying to turn around and say more globalism is going to fix it. No, it isn't. It absolutely is not. When you have a single global government or financial system, there's no future growth, there's no evolution, there's no change. We've seen it time and time again in history. Once a government establishes tyrannical authority, all it does is preserve the status quo. It doesn't evolve, it doesn't experiment with new methods of society. We're still using a voting system in this country that's 200 years old called the Electoral College. There's absolutely no need for it. It's just the government is incapable of evolving to meet the realities of the 21st century, which is why ultimately I think it's doomed. We're getting the Bank of International Settlements is saying the sovereign debt crisis is at the boiling point, which is a fancy word for saying you governments have got to go wring more money out of your people to give to the bankers because that's what they're there for. But you need to remember that this whole debt crisis involves money that never existed in the first place. When you talk about the trillions and trillions of dollars of debt that the federal government is in right now, most of it is money that was never actually in circulation. It's just toting up that compound interest. And at some point, before there's a new war revolution, we need to like say it was imaginary money. And we're just going to say, okay, it never really existed. We don't owe it. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We seem to have a little bit of a nasty hum that's all of a sudden... hang on a second. All right, well, we're just going to have to deal with it until the news break. And... Okay, and speaking of technical issues, we also have that problem with the... Hang on. There we are. Okay, well, we got it fixed, I think, for the moment. All right. Yeah, also, Ustream was going up. Oh, no, Ustream just went off the air again. This is really very frustrating, and I think this is indicative of America as a whole, that all of our equipment has gone bad, and we can't keep anything running. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Brother Solomon in Brazil, aloha, and can you, what's on your mind today?
Sarabama, querido hermano Rivero, thank you
Hello?
Very much for accepting this call, and good morning to you. And
Hello,
you
I am not hearing.
Nothing.
Okay, I've lost my... Hello?
Can you hear me?
I'm not hearing anything.
Can you hear me? Brother Rivero, can you hear me?
Oh, there we... Now I can, now I can. There we
okay.
are.
Okay. This new equipment, this made in America equipment, never last, always break.
Salam, Rivero,
and thank you very much for accepting the call. I imagine that yesterday you had the opportunity to suntan and recover part of your Sephardic look. So, like in the good old times, young, skinny, and handsome?
It's been a long time since I was young, skinny, and handsome.
Well, this call is to bring you my support to the national strike effort that you and Caritas Stone are sponsoring and wishing you a visible success. So, please
thank you.
Consider my next words as a simple, humble evaluation of someone who has participated in many national strikes all over the world. Our fellow Americans, my dear brothers and sisters, need to set aside to drop their military background and indoctrination to join the national strike. And I say this because since ever in America, a national strike has been seen and is seen as a communist strategy. That's the big problem, the big complex that America has. America always has found a way to repress the freedom to complain and strike from its labor force. Just remember the times of Emma Goldman and Sacco Vanzetti and how the Pinkertons were cracking heads and killing people. So,
among the unions.
Yes.
Medawan.
So I beg people that consider this a magical opportunity to express and forget about the Reagan times when he just destroyed the air controllers strike and put the military to handle the airports, and think that this is a tyranny. And when a tyranny is in place, the only way to really complain is to make it feel it in their own pockets, to make it visible that there are no people buying, there are no people in the street, there are no people participating in daily life. So, widely speaking, 40% of participation is rated as a great success because it means that 40% is willing to die for their ideals, while the other 60, from that 60, 40, will never die for the tyranny, so maybe we'll have to handle 20%. But
well, you know something, even 10 to 15% is going to send a strong message. And remember, the American Revolution was fought with less than 30% popular support of the American colonials.
I know, brother Rivero, what the problem that we are dealing today is that we are in a digital era full of cameras, and they can multiply the images of people going to work or doing anything, that it would be millions and millions and millions. At that time, it was much more visible because the commerce and the trade, all of a sudden, the stoppers start to have the troubles. Here, I beg people to drop their prejudice, to drop this kind of mentality, because the military never strikes, so there is no military strike ever. So drop that one and think it as a civilian. Civilians have the only resource to complain peacefully is making a national strike. And I join you from the bottom of my heart and with all my prayers and my best wishes. And I wish you also to participate with great success, Brother Rivero. And to Karen Tostone, the same. Thank you very much for letting me participate.
You got it. Thank you very much, and thank you for the phone call. We're going to switch over to David in Arkansas. Aloha, David. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. How are you doing today?
Well, I got some nasty equipment issues, but other than that, we're doing fine.
Yeah, don't we always have those equipment issues lately?
We do, and it's a pain, and part of it's the climate. You know, we're on an island in the salt ocean, and the other part of it, of course, is that everything is so cheaply made that it acts like it's all made out of compressed rust.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I've managed to calm down a little bit. Not that I'm any less angry than I was a few days ago. You know, I've actually been on a 3-day-long rant waking people up. And, you know, I talked to a couple of friends I hadn't talked to in a while. And, you know, they were just soaking the information. They hadn't had cable in the last year. So it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the reason I'm calling is I had some other points I wanted to make before about this big government stuff. The legislation, you know, is the problem. You know, you, like the health care bill, you've got a 2,700-page bill that there's no way that any of those people can honestly say they've read that entire thing. It just bloats just out of control. And I had kind of a funny ha-ha idea you might appreciate as far as allowing the people to read legislation like the health care bill. I posited that best thing to do with it is to take that 2,700-page bill and break it up into volumes and print it on a pack of toilet paper. So when you're sitting on the throne in the morning, you can sit and read it, and then you can flush it down the outside of the long.
I like that. I like that.
I figured you would.
That's a good one.
As soon as I find some good source graphics, I was actually going to make an image for that, just for, you know, a ha-ha. I sent you a flag image. In email, it's a Gadsden flag variant. Feel free to use it. I just kind of was inspired, you know, months ago, and you know, came up with it, and I'm just giving it out to everybody for free, public domain.
I did get that. I did save it. I'm not sure, you know, where I'm going to use it. I'm sort of kind of like saying, okay, I want to keep this and use it where it's really going to. But I did save that. Thank you very much.
You can use an Adobe Photoshop file of it. I will send you the source Photoshop file so you can modify it.
I would love it. Thank you. Yes, very much a Photoshop user.
I will absolutely do that. It's good to hear Solomon supporting the strike. You know, I'm just, you know, mad hardcore on strike for the rest of the month. I'm just too mad to work. I'm focusing my efforts into a new website where I'm going to really, you know, attack the follower, you know, left-right paradigm, you know, kind of stuff. And posit a bunch of questions, you know, to the website visitors, you know, and hopefully engage them in a way where, you know, the questions, you know, will get them to stop and think a little bit more than just bombarding them with statements.
When you get that website done, send me the URL. We'll give you a link from What Really Happened.
Absolutely will. Absolutely will, Mike. Thank you for everything you're doing.
I will.
You definitely keep me inspired that there's people like you out there and people like Karen and Alex that are taking the fight, you know, to the street and trying to get the people to wake up. You know, we stand a chance, you know, as long as we all stick to our guns.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the phone call. Got to let you go. We're almost to the top of the hour, and I want to switch over to Cody in Colorado. Aloha, Cody. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Oh, good morning. This is Tony Ibarra.
How you doing there? Boy, I was kind of hoping you were going to call in the next hour where we had more time to talk, but let's talk really now. I already mentioned earlier in the show that you were going to be on this program today, the idea being that we've got all these protests coming up and these demonstrations, and as I've mentioned before, if the informants and agents provocateurs know that we, the people, have got these hidden TV cameras recording everything, it is a deterrent to the kind of dirty tricks that we saw COINTELPRO doing back in the 1960s, and I wish we'd had you on a few weeks ago so that people had a chance to go out there and get your products for this upcoming weekend where there's going to be a lot of protests going on. But what is the latest and greatest you have in terms of corralling these kind of things? Pens, glasses, what's the latest product you got out there?
Well, Michael, first of all, I want to agree with you. We've had tremendous success with our DigiPens because they are being used by real American people that care for their country. We are changed that is using it. Alex Jones is using it, but just common people, everyday people are using it, going to town hall meetings and going to protests to stop this kind of infiltration that we see happening.
Okay, Tony,
today.
Tony, we got to take a break for news and commercials. Can you stay on the phone? I want to take you into hour number two.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back in about 7 minutes. Stay tuned and aloha.
Thank you. Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And with us on the phone is Tony Ibarra from Diginet. And, Tony, the reason I wanted to keep into the second hour, I wanted to have a little more time to talk about this subject because we know we're starting to see more and more protests against taxes in general. The corporate media is trying to insist that the Tea Party is strictly a GOP thing against the Democrats, and that's not true. A lot of, I would say probably about half of the Tea Party members are Democrats, and the acronym TEA is taxed enough already, and it's just a generalized anti-tax movement, and of course derives its name from the Boston Tea Party, which was an expression of disgust over the fact that even back then, 200 years ago, we had a government that was raising taxes and simply not paying attention to the needs of the ordinary people. We know, going back to Vietnam era, that the FBI maintains informants on college campuses, and they infiltrate protest groups for the specific purpose of engaging in activities in front of the media camera that can be used to discredit the legitimacy of these various dissenting groups. And we know that right now our present government is just absolutely terrified of a tax revolt gaining ground in this country, of a national strike getting a wide body of support and sending a message to foreign investors that we, the American people, do not accept responsibility for the financial losses of private businesses who were too greedy and too stupid for their own good. So the reason I keep coming back to you and asking you back on the show is that it's one thing for people to take their own camcorders and cameras out there to make sure that they're documenting all that goes along. And you know that the agents provocateurs are looking for cameras. But if they are made to be aware that there are cameras in the crowd that they might not be able to see, that acts as a tremendous deterrent to the kind of dirty tricks, acts of violence, and various other things that they have been known to do. We have busted so many undercover police and undercover FBI getting into these protests and just acting in a very disreputable fashion. And so that's why these digipens and the digiglasses, the glasses are kind of recognizable, but those pens especially, nobody knows that they're there. And if the other side just understands that maybe, you know, 5 to 10% of the people in a protest are wearing these digipen cameras and they might be recorded and not know it, they're going to be very, very cautious about going out there and doing something destructive. And worse, there's a video of it that allows them to be identified.
And that is true because I will tell you, Michael, our digipen is probably the most popular product because it is so discreet that no one even knows that you're doing video and audio recording. And we've had many people from We Are Changed that have used it, just the average American citizens that are going out to protests or to town hall meetings that are taking these digipens and getting some video background. Just to give you another example, I had a customer a while back, just spoke with him last week, that used the digipen in a court case where the attorneys were trying to rambazzle him and corner him, and when he mentioned that he had video, the judge was shocked, the attorneys were shocked, and everything that they had said, that they said they didn't say, he had, and they dropped the charges. So I think when you have this type of technology, it does give you an edge. And specifically today with the Tea Party protests, it's kind of funny because today I'm at the Republican convention here in Denver, Colorado, and we're trying to get some good people to represent us. And the Tea Party movement has had a major effect. Two of the runners are running neck and neck against the standard political professionals, and they have a chance, we have a chance to make reform. But
well,
as
I'm,
I mentioned,
go ahead. Well, no, I was going to say, I'm glad to hear that because, you know, I think the only way to avoid a civil war in this country is for that professional, established political elite to be quietly shown the door. And, you know, and maybe I'm being a bit naive in continuing to think that we can reform this country peacefully from within, but I'm not ready to quit trying.
Yes, and neither am I. And I'll be honest with you. I think if each and every one of us get involved, I've really not been involved with the political process except for the past few years. And just being involved, we've seen change here. And I think it's happening all over the country. And the key is that if we just get involved and we start voicing our opinion of stopping this federal hierarchy from trying to take over everything. And more states are realizing that we can claim sovereignty. And Colorado is a state that has also put its foot down and says we are a sovereign state. So that is happening, and that's where the DigiPens really come in handy, because I'll tell you, anymore, if people know that they're not on video, and especially these provocateurs, we're going to expose these provocateurs that are coming out and trying to put a black eye on the movement. But when you start having video that's coming out on YouTube, and anybody can go to DigiNet on YouTube, look for DigiNet, and you'll see how many thousands of people are having these pens that are just exposing, I call it tyranny.
Absolutely. I mean, the reason the government has TV cameras and scanners everywhere is to intimidate you and keep you psychologically helpless. Well, we can turn that around, because if the government starts realizing that the American people are all walking broadcast centers, then they got to pull back, because they cannot stand that light of public exposure.
And they really can't. It's just so amazing to see that when people have been videotaped, when they've had video and audio recorded on them, and it gets to the masses, it just exposes. It exposes the entire lie that they're trying to perpetuate on us average American citizens.
Well, you know, it's really a useful gizmo, and, you know, they're just a lot of fun as well. It's not just for the political, but for right now, as we head into this very, very stressful time where the government is already saying, you know, we've got to take more money from you, and we can't give you any of it back because we've got to pay off the bankers and everything, people are getting angry, and they're starting to reorganize more protest movements, and the government is just out any way they can to derail it. And we got to keep an eye on them. And that's why these pens are like such really cool things for people to get and have. And, you know, even if you're not actually recording, just the idea that you might be is going to have a tremendous intimidation effect on the government goons. And that really is its value.
Well, and one thing that we would like to offer to all your listeners also, Michael, is that if they put in a code of Rivero, and if you can spell that for me so I don't spell it wrong.
It's R-I-V-E-R-O, River with an O on the end.
Right. There it is. But if people will put that code in, when they buy, we will give 10% off for any of our DigiProducts that are out there. Now,
well,
give me a couple of hours. Yes. Well, we want to get it out there, and we want all of your listeners to know that it's just a wonderful product to have. And like you said, it's not just for political protests. You can use it to video your family gatherings. You can use it to video while you're riding on your bike. It's just a great tool to have. And again, give us a couple hours on that, because I have to get back to the office and make sure one of our staff put in the code of Rivero. But we will give 10% off on any of our products.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that very generous offer, and I'll add it to the ads that we have running at the website. You know, and it's one of those things, when I first saw it, and the first thing I said, oh, that's so cool. And, you know, and I'm showing them around to friends, and they're saying, I can't believe that's a complete video camcorder in those eyeglasses and stuff. And then you start thinking about it, this is more than just a toy. This has got some serious, serious use in our current situation. You know, we're not fighting this revolution with muskets. We're fighting it with keyboards and camcorders, and that's where the DigiPen and the DigiGlasses really come in. Tony, thank you very much for joining us on the air. We're going to let you go because I know you're at that convention. Good luck with the fight, and thanks again for that code. We'll put that in the website. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors, 800-259-9231, and aloha.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
what this country is coming to. I sure would like to know if they don't do something by and by. The rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're going to go back to the phones. Julio in Illinois, aloha. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Hi, Mike Rivera. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fine.
Hold on. I apologize. I was on speakerphone. Question about...
We're all having hardware problems this week.
Reconciliation bill and this health care bill really is getting my bubbles bursting. Just watching that whole debate on C-SPAN really got me bummed because they're all clearly going towards the Barry Sartoro agenda. But... the original health care bill is 2,300 pages. Reconciliation is 2,400 pages. And in this reconciliation bill, it talks about RFID chips under this new medical registry system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you could talk more about that. And I know most of the American people are not going to be for this RFID implantable chip in their bodies. So, you know, the globalists and Barry Sartoro are going to come up with some deceiving plan to get us involved with this. Maybe the census, maybe not, but what do you think they're going to do to force us to get these phony chips into our bodies and clearly control having all...
Well, the problem is the chips are not phony. I mean, the problem is that the chips are an implantable form of ID, and they're going to sell it to us on the idea that, identity theft will simply go away, which is nonsense. There are already, people have already demonstrated these things are hackable and spoofable. And the bottom line is, once the chips are there, supposedly for our medical records, they say, well, you know, we can also do this for credit card transactions. And eventually it'll work down to the same thing that we're seeing at, like, the airports and now the bus stations. It'll be control of where you're going and keeping track of you at all times, simply because they can, and they're going to do it just to justify taking more money from you for your own good. I am one of those people. I do not want an implantable chip. I want the government to go away. I want them to leave me alone. I don't want anything from them. I don't want them coming in and taking what is left of my wealth to redistribute to other people. You know, I've really had it up to here. I've had more government than I can stand being shoved up my nose, one nickel at a time. And it's angering. And certainly the implantable chip, and I know all the dystopian society predictions are saying it's going to be inevitable. And like any other technology, there's an upside and there's a downside. And with this government in control, I'm concerned about the downside. It's like government health care. With a good government, it can work. It works in France. It works in Norway. It works more or less in Canada. The problem is not the technology and not the concept. It is this particular government, which has historically demonstrated a very militaristic, belligerent, dictatorial, tyrannical mindset, going back for at least almost 100 years since the formation of the Federal Reserve. And I don't want them knowing where I'm going, and I don't want them reading my emails or going into my computer. And it has nothing to do with whether there's something in there I'm ashamed of or not, because there isn't. But there is privileged data belonging to my clients that I don't want some government goon siphoning off and selling to his buddy over at the Fan magazine. And the bottom line is, I do believe that we all have a natural right to privacy. And it's recognized in the Constitution, you know, with the idea of unreasonable search or seizure. And now the government's trying to say is, well, you know, we define reasonableness as, if we want to look, that's reasonable. And, you know, they're trying to change the definition of the word in order to change what they're allowed to do. And the bottom line is, the trend is obvious. This government, left to itself, is going to have us all living in little rubber cells, you know, with a TV screen bolted in front of our face so that we have to look at it all the time and get the daily dose of propaganda, and we'll walk to our job and we'll walk back and we'll work until we die, and then they'll recycle our chemicals and life will go on. And I don't want to live like that. And the bottom line is, I think the reason we're seeing so many people in the Tea Parties, and we're starting to see more and more protest marches across the United States, totally ignored by the corporate media. Totally ignored by the corporate media. The reason we're seeing that is people are angry. We're tired of government. You know, between the banking system and the government, we do live in a fascist tyranny. We have about 20% of the population working for government, That's a huge, huge percentage. We have another 20% of the population working in the financial services area. That's the largest industry, and it doesn't actually make anything. It just takes money and moves it around and repackages it and does the Enron thing with it. And it's just completely out of control. There's not enough population left that isn't involved with writing numbers in ledgers and enforcing regulatory compliance. There aren't enough people left over to actually make the nation function any longer. We're drowning in the weight of our own management. Hello?
Yeah, Mike, I apologize. It's just unbelievable as well. You talked about mainstream corporate media this morning. I was watching the CNN, the CIA news network, talking about how some Tea Party protesters are racist. One of the Democratic senators was talking about that. And also Bart Stupak said his greatest accomplishment was passing through this health care bill. So his greatest accomplishment is killing babies and having us implanted with microchips. So that's pro-life for Bart Stupak and the people of Michigan. It's just disgusting to see that it truly, not many of our senators truly care about us in Washington. We need to have a peaceful revolt against this tyrannical government, and with people like you,
I would love to have
a
peaceful revolt. I would love to have a peaceful revolt. My fear is the government is not going to allow itself to be modified by peaceful means, and we're going to wind up in a situation like Kyrgyzstan or like Romania, and the wrong people are going to be made to bleed for it, and that really kind of ticks me off. Anything else?
No, that's it. Keep fighting.
All right.
Good fight, Mike.
Thank you very much, Julio. We're going to switch over to Rick in Washington. Aloha, Rick. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. This is Rick.
Yes, Rick.
Yes, just wanted to thank you so much for all you're doing with your show.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to let you know that I just got back from a trip to Europe. And,
okay.
On the way, I went through the famous Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam.
Yes.
And they had the body scanners there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, thanks for listening to your show, when I got to the body scanners, I said to them that I do not want to go through them. And that after reading some information that I should be allowed to have an alternative method. And after they said, no, you have to go through it, finally they talked to their manager and they said, yep, we will take you around the side through the old-fashioned metal detector and just do a body search. And that's what I did. And
well, good for you, because we don't know what the health consequences of those things are. It's just some political crony has them for sale. And the bottom line is, you know, they had those body scanners at that airport back when the crotch bombing almost happened. And the guy got that bomb through that. I mean, the bottom line is anybody who is willing to throw their own life away to destroy an airplane, and I don't think they're really out there, I think it's all a hoax, they're going to get past that naked body scanner simply by swallowing whatever bomb it is that they're going to have. And, I mean, that's just absolutely the bottom line. So what are they going to do? Give everybody who gets on an airplane a full body penetrating X-ray? For commuter flyers, that's a guaranteed ticket for cancer. You know,
it's
reached ridiculous levels.
I agree, and that's why I thank you for your information, because I did it both directions. I went through and, you know, I was hesitant on the first direct because I have, you know, there's an hour layover, and so you risk missing your flight. But on both times, they, you know, first they said, no, you have to, and then all I had to do was say, that's not true. I know that I can ask for an alternative method. And so I'd encourage any of your listeners to do the same thing.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that information. We've got to let you go and take a commercial break. 800-259-9231, and we'll be right back.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. You know, I'm thinking about these body scanners, and I know Obama promised us transparency, but I didn't really think that was going to be it. And, you know, the bottom line, first of all, it is degrading. It is insulting. We are all being treated like we're potential criminals. The government treats us like we're the enemy. Think about it. The government treats the American people like we're the enemy now. They're that afraid of us. This has nothing to do with Al-Qaeda, which is a fake group, All of this security is to keep us properly enslaved, to keep us meek, to keep us bowed down under the weight of TV cameras and chains and regulation and making sure we have a license for a fake wooden gun. I mean, it's all about enslavement and repression, and that's exactly what's going on here. I'd like to see a peaceful resolution. I'm reaching the point where I don't think that's possible. You know, I'm an optimist, and I'm a little naive sometimes. I'd still like to find a way to peacefully get this country back on track to the republic that it used to be. But unfortunately, there are too many greedy sociopaths in charge of the government who imagine that whatever god they've hallucinated for themselves made the universe for them to be in charge and for 300 million Americans to live and slave in absolute poverty to keep them in their mansions. And, you know, now that the IRS is beginning to actually focus on the people who actually have the money, oh, the hue and cry and screams of indignation. We're the producers of the nation. How dare you tax us? No, they're not producers. They're gamers. Like Bernie Madoff with the loot and Goldman Sachs. They don't actually make anything. You can't go into Goldman Sachs and actually find a bushel of wheat or a piece of furniture or anything that can be sold. All Goldman Sachs does is grab money, enronize it, and shove it out the other side of the door. And they have been caught engaging in so many frauds and illegal activities. And so all these crooks have got the money, and they have convinced themselves that somehow this is the way it's supposed to be. And now the IRS is going after them, and they're screaming, no, you can't have it back. We stole it good and proper, and we're going to keep it. You can have my yacht when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers, and so forth and so on. All right, speaking of the economy, this last week we had this absolute ludicrous testimony before Congress about the financial crisis, where Geithner is out there saying, well, you're going to have to pay more taxes, and we're going to have to, like, you know, stiff you on Social Security and Medicare and all those things you thought you were paying taxes for, because gosh darn, those bankers need it more than you do. You know, and of course, we're still sending money over to Israel, even though that is now exposed as a criminal act by the U.S. government. We're going to get into that before the end of the show, I think. But Greenspan's testimony was basically 2 hours of passing the buck and saying, well, we're all equally to blame, which is, you know, translation, you can't put any of us in jail. You know, we made sure it was all spread around so that you can't actually put your finger on any one guy and say, you were the one who made it all happen. And it's just, and it is now, Gerald Kalendi was on Coast to Coast Radio, and, you know, I tend to stay away from Coast to Coast because of UFOs and Bigfoot and all the other stuff. But they're getting a little bit more politically aware over there. And so they had Gerald Kalendi on there, and basically saying the U.S. economy is unsustainable, which is absolutely true. We cannot continue on this path and survive. The government gave away all the high-paying jobs, then turned around and started raising taxes. Osama bin Laden could only dream of the destruction of America that has been brought about by the Federal Reserve and Wall Street. Even if you accept the official story of 9/11, which I don't, Osama bin Laden knocked over a couple of skyscrapers in New York. The Federal Reserve has destroyed the lives of 300 million Americans. Millions have lost their homes. Millions more are losing their businesses. It's no wonder that when Geithner was over there in China trying to reassure them about the safety of investing in America, they laughed at him. They know what's going on. And that's why this national strike this next week is going to be so potent. The other countries of Earth, they already know what's going on. Those foreign investors, they already know what's going on. They know the United States is not a safe, reliable haven for their money any longer. If the American people all stand up in one voice and say, we, the American people, do not accept responsibility for private corporations destroyed by their own greed and stupidity, those foreign investors and those foreign governments are going to say, well, I guess we really ought to find someplace better to keep our money. And they'll do it. The U.S. economy is headed for a huge crash. It will take the federal government with it, and good riddance. And remember, under the principle of odious debt, under international law, we, the American people, are not liable for the debts this government ran up, to fight wars of aggression, to give money away to foreign governments, to bail out private corporations against the will of the people. The only debts the American people are legally obligated to are those debts incurred to repair the roads, build schools, hospitals, maintain the infrastructure. In other words, the things we thought we were paying taxes for. We are not liable for the debts the government ran up in order to tap all of our telephones and read our email and put up TV cameras to keep an eye on us. It is all considered odious debt. It is a valid principle of international law. We are in a situation right now where I think if most Americans were to think about it quite objectively, getting rid of the federal government is their best chance for a happier future. We could work ourselves to death trying to prop up this failed government. And, of course, from the point of view of the government, that's exactly what, you know, the deities say should happen. But we're really in a situation where there is so much debt and so much taxation and so much greed and corruption going on. The government has created a situation in which getting rid of the federal government is our best option for having a happy... I mean, I ran a poll not too long ago saying, would your life be better or worse if the federal government just went away and took all of its debts with it? And 80% of the respondents said, yeah, my life would be a heck of a lot better without the federal government. And the other 20%, we assume, are all getting federal government paychecks. So, you know, it's just a horrible, horrible situation out there. Now, the other night, I went back and I rewatched this documentary, The Smartest Guys in the Room. It was on HBO for a while. I hope they'll bring it back. You can buy the DVD. And it's a very good analysis about what happened with Enron. And the thing that was coming through when I watched it again was the realization that Enron itself might have collapsed, but Skilling's game plan for electricity worked at first and made a lot of people very, very rich. It set other people up to pay the cost for it. And because of that, we're seeing the same Enronization repeated over and over and over again. They did it with healthcare. They did it with mortgage-backed securities. They're getting ready to do it with CO2. The scheme works for the gangsters. The destruction is spread all over society and all over the employees and all over the investors, but these guys don't care. They're sociopaths. And that's why we're seeing, ever since Enron came and went, the same game plan is being implemented. That same scam, that same scheme, the con game, is being used over and over again. Mortgage-backed securities, healthcare, carbon dioxide. I don't know what else they're applying it to. But it's the path to incredible riches almost overnight. And that's, fraud has become the American business model. That's another reason foreign investors and government should stay away from us. Absolutely. All right, we're coming down to the end of this segment. When we come back, let's see. Oh, there's so many things I wanted to talk about. Iran and pedophilia and the nuclear thing. Yeah, I think I'm going to go down. It's time to go back and pound on the Pope, Pope Benny the Rat, because he has definitely, he's hit the wall on this one. He's hit the wall. All right, so we're going to take a break, and I'm going to guzzle the last of my coffee here, and the magic music should be coming up any second there. There it is. Okay. Join us on the air, 800-259-9231. We'll be back with the last segment of today's show after these words from our sponsors.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I'm watching the feed from CNN. And they're talking about America's debt crisis, and in the little bar below, they're talking about how, well, a value-added tax may be necessary, and in other words, bend over and spread them for the good of the nation. And they're talking about, well, you know, Congress really ought to enforce strict spending controls and only pay for things they can afford. And what they're basically doing is they're setting you up to agree to pay more taxes and demand less back for that money. Nobody's talking about pulling back these very expensive wars. Nobody's talking about pulling back any of this money that gets showered all over Wall Street, despite overwhelming public opposition. Nobody is talking about canceling the payment on all those checks sent to Israel, even though every penny of foreign aid sent to Israel since 1976 is illegal under U.S. law. All of that is sacred spending. We can't touch that. If we have to cut spending, you know, the austerity measures, we have to do it at home, domestically. Sorry your kids aren't getting an education. You know, sorry that, you know, the hospitals are turned into paperwork factories and you can't really get medical care there anymore. And sorry the roads are full of holes and, you know, the electricity doesn't stay running and everything you buy, you know, for your own company is simply falling apart when it comes out of the box. But, you know, these are tough times. You know, but we look at this big shiny bomb we bought, and it's so big and shiny and wet, and don't you just love it? They really are out of control there. You know, if you walk down Washington, D.C. streets, you know, in any other city in America, you walk down, you see little banner advertising, you know, for cigarettes or for local sporting events and entertainment and magazines, all this stuff. Washington, D.C., it's all weapons systems. You know, you're walking down the street, and there are these little kiosks there, and they've got these big, you know, bright color ads for weapons systems. And so, it's amazing. It's completely out of control here. All right, we're going to go to the phones real quick to John in Ohio. I do want to get back to Popegate before we end the show. John, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I really appreciate you showing the hypocrisy of all of these hack mayors and politicians throughout the country, ignoring the million-pound elephant in the room, which is these trillions of dollars we're spending on killing people around the world, thousand bases around the world, fleets in every sea, the trillions that are going to these Wall Street crooks. And then they say, we just haven't got any money. You're just going to have to slash and gut every safety net program that still hasn't been slashed, all the schools, all of the roads, all of the minor helpful programs as they plunge us deeper into poverty. As you said, also to Israel, the hypocrisy is monumental there. You know, the thousands of nuclear weapons the United States and Israel has been threatening every day Iran with, which doesn't have them. And as somebody, I think even in Israel, one of their top military analysts said, Iran would be crazy not to get a nuclear weapon as a tiny deterrent because, you know, the United States and Israel only attack countries that can't defend themselves.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
and we still can't win.
That's true, but in a way, the rotten military-industrial complex, which is bleeding us dry, uses the havoc and the destruction that they've perpetrated in Iraq and Afghanistan and these other countries as an excuse to stay there and make even more profits the more they wreck the country.
And the banks that finance it, they don't even care who wins or loses. You know, because both sides go into debt. They don't care if the U.S. loses the war. It's just all about running up debt to the banks.
And staying in all of these places around the world, the more they wreck it, the more they use the wreckage to say, well, we've got to stay. The structure we've caused means that we're the noble savior that now has to pretend to undo it, according to rotten liars that lied us into this war, like Thomas Friedman and the rest.
Well, you know, these wars have destroyed this country. I mean, the biggest threat to the people of the United States is our own military. You know, with this huge, you know, if they're so interested in nation building, come home and build a nation here, because this one has fallen apart.
Well, yeah, and every time they ramp up this chauvinistic militarism around the world, our freedoms are taken away here, and the guys that they're defending our freedom. I was noticing that Paul Craig Roberts, who quit because he got, I hope he'll come back, one of my favorite commentators, pointed out that at least in the 70s, some of the media and some of the commentators were outraged about the CIA killing people in other countries. Now, according to Dennis Blair, the chief of intelligence under Obama, he's going beyond the fascism of Bush and saying that it's defined policy now that no trial, no charges, we can murder Americans just on the say-so of someone within the government. At least during the 70s, you had the Pike Committee, you had the Church Committee, you had outrage about killing foreign personnel in other countries, and here now American citizens can be subjected to just summary execution. and frame up just on the say so of Obama. So there's really no difference here.
Yeah, it is.
And I've noticed that even with Israel now, this is a sort of the kind of breakaway a dog on the leash that we pretend is really not on our leash. And as Ray McGovern...
Well, actually, I think we're on theirs. I mean, the bottom line is I think Israel's blackmailing the U.S. government with 9/11, because if you look at the dynamics of the so-called special relationship between the U.S. and Israel, it was abusive prior to 9/11, but now it's just completely... Israel's absolutely in charge. I mean, the U.S. government is saying, we want peace in the Mideast, and Israel says no, and the U.S. goes, oh, okay, yeah, right, we're not going to force anything. And yet the money keeps flowing there, even though it is a criminal act. We got to let you go here, because I'm running out of time here, and I do want to get into this latest thing about Popegate. And yes, we're going to be talking about this all next week. Talk about, thank you very much for the call, John. We're going to let you go here. The situation with Pope Benny the Rat is becoming untenable. I mean, they're running out of excuses. You know, they tried to blame it on John Paul II, and apparently he did do a lot of very bad things. But Pope Benny the Rat was in charge of the cover-ups even under Pope John Paul II. So it's kind of a handoff situation. Then they tried to blame, oh, it was a Google translation error in the one letter that had already surfaced about the Pope saying, you know, we got to keep this covered up. And then they're saying, oh, it's an insidious plot by the Illuminati or by the Masons or by the Jews. They went into all those churches and held guns to the head of those priests and made them abuse the altar boys, you know, all around the world. Just absurd, ludicrous things. And now we've got this situation where the proverbial dam has ruptured. The churches, as an effort of political damage control, have set up their own helplines for reporting priestly abuse. And at first people said, well, nobody's going to call because it's the church. Apparently, there are so many calls, the computer systems are crashing. And now yet another letter has surfaced, signed by Pope Benny the Rat, basically saying that we have to cover up this priestly abuse for the good of the church. And more of these are going to come. Now that this is going, it's now becoming socially acceptable to say, these people in the churches are abusing children. I mean, we've got, a story we ran yesterday about a priest who raped a young boy at gunpoint, another one who broke into a woman's house to molest her, one we just posted to the site a little while ago about a priest who was tying up boys in order to molest them. I mean, it just gets sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. And at some point, the people of planet Earth are going to come to the realization that organized religion itself is a very sick, twisted institution. It is founded on hoaxes and myths and folktales, and it exists for no other reason than to extract money and obedience from people and to help the government keep you pressed down into the mud. Don't dare stand up against the government, or you're going to go straight to the dark regions when you die. It isn't just the Catholics. It isn't just the Christians. We have had Protestants, we have had Methodists, we have that guy who was in charge of this Hindu religious community who got sacked a couple of weeks ago for molesting. Think about the kind of people who are willing to take a job making money, just feeding you fairies and fables and fictions and telling you that it's all real and there's harps and wings and heavens and candles and all the rest of that stuff. What kind of people are attracted to a job like that? That is the reason for this scandal going on. It is a 2,000-year-old cover-up, and it is time for us to evolve and grow into a world without belief. More about that this coming week. That's it for our show. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. Stay well. Hug your loved ones. Drive carefully. Stay skeptical. Be your own best analyst in determining what is the truth of the world. Avoid belief. And we'll be back on Monday, 5 p.m. Central, here on the Genesis Communication Network. Aloha, America.